take your Bibles now and go to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter number 5. We'll read the first 8 verses this evening. I'll begin in verse number 1 and you'll join me on verse number 2 all the way through verse number 8. Genesis chapter number 5, beginning in verse number 1. Genesis chapter number 5, the Bible says in verse number 1, this is the book of generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years, and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam, after he had begotten Seth, were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years, and begat Enos. And Seth lived, after he begat Enos, 807 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, this evening, Lord, we come to you, Lord, grateful to be here again. Lord, thank you for the weather that we get to enjoy. But Lord, thank you for making it possible for us to be here tonight. Lord, you've got us here for a purpose. Lord, there's a reason for tonight's service. Every one of us are here for a reason. And Lord, may we find that in this evening's message. Lord, be with our pastor. Give him clarity of mind. Lord, may the truth that he speaks, Lord, be from your word straight to our heart. Lord, may we hide it in our heart, Lord. Take it, think about it, Lord, and apply it in our lives so we can become closer to you and help others to do more for you because of what's done here tonight. We'll ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I want to give you just kind of a novel truth tonight, but it does have a little hook in it that I want you to think about. Genesis chapter 5 is not a chapter you read and say, wow, that was exciting. Genealogy about Adam. And yet there's a truth wrapped up in this that I want to give you today. Adam and Eve had it made. They were the only two people to see the earth and see creation as God intended it to be. Now think through that. They saw a perfect world. They had a perfect relationship. They were perfect. There was no sin. And it was exactly the way God wanted. There were no weeds, no death, no curse, nothing. They got to learn from God himself how to care for the earth. Not one of these people that believe that God stuck us here and we just had to figure out how to make fire and how to find gold and this. They had those things. They knew about those things because God told them about it and how to take care of it and do it. Never a crossword, no mistrust, no hurt feelings, no unstable emotions, no sweat, no death, no weeds. This is what Adam and Eve had in the Garden of Eden. Then the old devil introduced man to sin. Man chose sin over this sinless, perfect world in which he lived. Man was cursed by sin. Woman was cursed by sin. And the earth itself was cursed by sin. And look where we are today. What was the worst part of the curse of Adam's life? I can't tell you that this is a doctrine. I'm going to give you an opinion, but I think you'll see where I'm coming from. Was the worst curse the sweat from which Adam would sweat from his brow to work? Would it be the death and all the destruction he would face? Was it seeing his wife unstable emotionally? Was it seeing one son murder another? May I give you what I think may have been the hardest part of the curse on Adam? Seeing all the destruction for over 800 years. Think about it. He watched the Garden of Eden for God knows how long, fell, then Cain killed Abel, but for well over 800 years, probably closer to 900, Adam watched this world and his family and all those that came from him destroy each other. Do you realize that he lived long enough for Lamech to have seen Adam? You say, who is Lamech? Well, if you go all the way down to verse 26, Genesis chapter 5, verse 26. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years. And he died. And Lamech lived 182 years and begat sons. And he called his name what? Noah. Noah's dad was alive when Adam was alive. That's hard to believe. You have to realize Noah was 600 years old when he started the ark. Actually 500 years, I'm sorry. 500 years. But you got to realize Adam lived all the way until Noah's dad was alive. That means this, virtually one generation prior to the people that would go through the flood. Now, Adam and Eve did not see the bigness of listening to the devil. They did not see the long-lasting effects that sin would have, but they watched it over the next 800, almost 900 years. He saw all the way to the father of Noah, the one God used to destroy the earth and spare mankind. Matter of fact, God said it was so bad in the days of Noah. Listen to this. It's not as bad now as it was then because Jesus will come back when it is that bad. We think we have it bad. It's been worse than that twice because God said as in the days of Noah, and as in the days of Sodom, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. That's how quickly mankind can destroy itself. Adam and Eve had gone from the sinless world and creation to literally the father of the man who God would use to build an ark and spare the world and destroy the world other than that family. I kind of think this may have been the worst part of the curse for Adam and Eve. I don't know. By the way, remember, Noah was 600 years old when the flood started. Go to Genesis chapter 7, verse number 6. Verse 5, and Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him, and Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters was upon the earth. That's hard to believe. Hard to believe. That means this world had been in existence for a little over 1530-ish years before God destroyed it the first time. Think of how bad it's taken and how long it's taken this time. Now, I'm going to give you about three things here, maybe four, and then we'll go to the house. Number one, Adam saw the total depravity of man. Adam saw the total depravity of man. He went from the Garden of Eden to watching one son murder another. He saw his children and their families cursed by sin. It's interesting, Genesis chapter 5 tracks Adam through Seth. It was supposed to be tracked through Abel, but because Abel died, they had to wait till Seth was born and track the lineage of Adam through Seth because Cain was cursed. You have to understand something. When Cain killed Abel, they weren't teenage boys. They were married, had families. If you read the story in chapter 4, you'll find out that Cain even said, I'll be marked, and as I go through the earth from city to city, hello, people will know I'm cursed. He saw his children and their families cursed by sin. He saw the perversion of sodomy brought to the world. Sodomy is not something new. Perversion is not something new. By the way, after the flood, that was one of the first things that probably took place with Ham, between Ham and his father Noah. You see, he saw lost people marrying saved people. That wasn't the way it was supposed to be. By the way, they were all his ancestors. What thoughts Adam and Eve must have had while thinking of Eden, walking around looking at the daily mess? Can you imagine what Adam thought as he saw two sodomites kissing on each other? Can you imagine what Adam thought every time he heard of a death? Can you imagine what he thought as people complained about not having everything they wanted and having to work and sweat? And him say, boy, remember a day when I could do that and not sweat? Remember a day? Imagine what Adam thought when he got up out of bed every day when he was 600, 700, 800, 900 years old and creaking bones. And say, boy, remember what it's like when it's created and everything felt good. It was probably, we are probably at that tipping point where it's about as equal as it was when Adam was alive in our lifetime. Adam saw the total depravity of man. He saw how wicked man could be. Number two, this one's hard to conceive. But think about it for a second. Genesis chapter 5, Adam knew Enoch and saw him walk with God so closely that God took Enoch to heaven instead of Adam. Look at verse 22. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. He didn't die. He was walking with God one day, and I can imagine God and Enoch walking and talking, and Enoch saying, God, I hate to do this, but I got to get home. And he said, well, Enoch, you're closer to my house than your house. Why don't you just come with me? And he took him to heaven. Wait a minute. When Adam found this out, remember Genesis chapter 2? Genesis chapter 3, the beginning part? God came down and walked with Adam every day in the garden. Don't you think at about 700 years old or so, Adam sees Enoch go to heaven after having walked with God and say, boy, remember those days. Remember what it was like to be that close to him. That should have been me, not him. Can you imagine how Adam felt? He lived almost 200 years after that. You see, Adam remembered how sweet it was to walk and talk to God personally and learn directly from him. Sin really hurts and causes much deeper pain and problems than we know. You can't always, and I get this, you can't always live in the presence of God in your walk with God daily. I get it. You have to work. You have to be, but, and I mean that sweet one-on-one, just you and God, that quiet time with you and him. But can I tell you something? You ought to have it on a regular basis. But can you imagine what Adam felt? Adam watched his family and his relatives and their relatives reject God for over 800 years. Just think about that for a minute. That's over three times as long as America has been a nation. 800 years. That's going back to the 1200s in our time. The Dark Ages. Now think about that for a second. That's not how long he lived. That's how long it was from the time of Seth till now. You've got to go back almost to about 1150 or so to when Adam was born. About 1100. That's how long he lived. Can you imagine watching the destruction from 1100 to now? And watching all the things change that, had you made the right decision, wouldn't have been there. Watching all the destruction, all the death, all the tragedy, all the filth, all of the evil, and knowing you made one decision that caused all that. Because according to the book of Romans chapter 5, for as by one man's disobedience, sin entered the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all, for that all have sinned. Every time Adam saw that, he remembered that day. I don't know what was the worst thing about the curse for Adam, but I kind of think I got my finger on it. Number three, this one just about breaks my heart. Adam saw his family worship things other than God. I don't know about you, but it's hard watching your family reject God. It really is. But can you imagine your family members making their own gods? Turn to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. This thing of false religion is nothing new. Genesis chapter 24, look at verse number 2. I'm sorry, Joshua. Joshua chapter 24. Did I say Genesis? Maybe the last time, and not the first time. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the what? Other side of the flood. Whose side of the flood was Adam on? He was on the other side, correct? Other side of the flood in old time. Even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served what?
Other gods.
Huh. Look at verse number 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood. Look at verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you'll serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood. For the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Notice something. They had false gods on the other side of the flood. Where did they come from on this side of the flood? Noah, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. And their wives. There were only 8 people that knew who those gods were. Imagine having known and seen and talked with and worked with the Creator, the God of the universe. You saw him in the garden. You woke up to life with him breathing breath into your nostrils. And now your family's making their own gods and rejecting him. Whew. That's rough. We all have family members that either are lost or not right with the Lord or going a different direction. We all have those things. Not many have family members that actually worship false gods. But Adam did. Imagine how hurt Adam was knowing so many of his family would die and go to hell because he disobeyed God. Think through that one for a second. Look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Look at verse number, verse number 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world. Who was there at the creation of the world? God and who else? Adam. From the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. That means creation itself gives you enough to point you to a real God. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Sounds like our generation. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, the birds, the four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Joe, did you hear just this week in the news? The animal rights people are all upset that it's disrespectful to call people pigs and chickens. It hurts the pigs and chickens' feelings. People like that need to go to a slaughterhouse and find out where their bacon and chicken came from, their chicken nuggets. Verse 24. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever and ever, forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections, even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another. Men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves the recompense of the error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now, I'll stop there. We could read through the end of the chapter. But remember, Adam saw all that happen. Romans chapter 1, the last half of the chapter here is in reference to the Sodomite community and world philosophy of today. If you read it, you'll see what's happening in our world today with these people. Yeah. They are rebellious, they're reprobate, they're vile. By the way, I don't think, listen to me, they can get saved, but they're the hardest people in the world to win to Christ because they are so anti-God. I've had a few saved in my ministry, but only a few. Sodomy is at the bottom. It is the last straw before destruction ever in Scripture. We live in such a world. California was voting to make it legal for pedophiles to be legal as long as you're not more than 10 years older than the person you were with. That's what they voted on this last election. Folks, that's sick. Imagine how Adam remembered God himself giving the gospel to him after he had been had sinned. Had to sacrifice animals, shed the blood, and show how Jesus would one day come and do this for him, as all Adam had to do is trust God to take him to heaven. He'd have to suffer the consequences his life, but he could go to heaven. Imagine every piece of clothing Adam put on. What did he think about? Wonder about every time Adam buttoned his shirt, put a coat on. Wonder what he thought about. I'm sure it was the gospel. And his relatives were worshiping false gods, making gods of their own hands, trying to lift themselves up as gods. Adam saw Satan struck down and cursed by God. Adam literally watched God strike Satan down as the serpent to crawl upon his belly and be cursed. Now watch this. And now his generations that followed him blindly follow and worship Satan, because Adam decided to listen to the devil one time. One time. Just to do something his way. How about we quit deciding what we want to do and do what God wants us to do? Number four. I'll finish. Don't think Adam realized, number four, that the effects of sin can carry with you an awful long time. Folks, the effect of our sin carries on for a long time. The sin is forgiven by God, but the lasting results on earth go a long ways. You know my heart about this topic. A bad marriage can bring divorce. That doesn't mean both people are bad necessarily, but it causes grief for the children, especially if their time is split. The adults can get through it a whole lot easier than the time that's split, and how that often shatters lives in the process. Then you have people that can't even get along with each other, and they tear them apart on purpose. You see, the grief and the confusion is more than just how bad the marriage was. It lasts for generations thereafter. I'm not saying if you've been divorced, you're a trashy person. What I'm saying is those things affect for a long time. Having a child out of wedlock goes with you forever in this life. I can say this. I know I've counseled this 50 to 100 times. Women that had abortions, you carry that with you the rest of your life. When you understand that that was an actual life that you had taken. Leaving the will of God just for a little while, like Ruth did, can bring bitterness that lasts a lifetime. I come here for a second. They can't see you sitting down. I love this young man. He's a good man of God. I've done a lot of wrong. You've heard me apologize for my sin more than once. But I can promise you one thing. While he grew up in our house, he didn't live one day out of the will of God. I didn't say we always lived it the right way, but we were in it. See, that carries on for a long time too. I am not a perfect person. If you think I am, trust me, I'm not. I'm just as much a sinner as anybody else. But God called me into the ministry at the age of 13, and for 40 years, I have been in the will of God, doing the will of God, and to the best of my ability, giving him everything I have. I've made sure that we were in the will of God no matter where we were at. By the way, you don't find the will of God one time, stay there, and you're done for the rest of your life. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It was the will of God that I went to Massillon Christian School and graduated from the Christian high school, but that wasn't the end of the will of God for my life. Listen to me. I went to Bible college, but as soon as I graduated and my wife graduated, that wasn't the end of the will of God. It was the will of God that we were there, but it wasn't the will of God that I stay there the rest of my life. That's where I found my wife. Knocked her over in the hallway. Literally. I thank God for it. By the way, you've heard me tell the story. She almost didn't come back that year. Thank God for somebody who understood that and got her back, and we found the will of God together. Not real romantic, but before we got real serious, I said, now look, I'm serious about serving God, and I have no idea where we would go or what we'll do, but will you go with me no matter what it is? She said, let's do it. Said, it might put a lot of heat in the kitchen. She said, that's okay. That's how you cook. And we have. Leaving the will of God creates bitterness. I have watched more Christian people become bitter because they left the will of God. They leave church. I've watched preachers get out of the will of God. I had somebody send me a news article yesterday. Won't go into it, but two men that I knew back in my day in Bible college, they're now running a casino church in Las Vegas. They were tired of churching church people, so they wanted to try something new. Well, they've been out of the will of God for over 20 years. This is just another level of it. I didn't care for either one of them in Bible college either. Both of them were pretty boys. But can I tell you something? You say, oh, that's horrible. They've been out of the will of God a long time. It's not something new. I gotta hurry. Not helping your children to do the will of God can bring generational destruction. Make sure you help your children learn to do the will of God. I didn't say they're all going to do it, but they ought to know about it. And I will say this, if they're not in it, they're going to be miserable. They may not be unproductive in this world, but they're going to be miserable. Doing the will of God is far greater than anything in the world. Don't hold your kids back. If they want to go soul winning, get them out soul winning. If they want to do something at church, get them there. And if they don't want to do it, get them there because they need to do it. Say why? Because they need to learn that the will of God's fun. You will have more enjoyment in life in the will of God than you ever could outside it. I don't care how much money's attached to it. I don't care how much fame is attached to it. I don't care how much notoriety is attached to it, what position is attached to it, or whether you like it. You don't make decisions based on what you like. How about you make decisions based on the will of God? Preacher, what was the hardest part of the curse for Adam and Eve? I can't tell you that I know for sure. But I kind of think watching this old world die off for about 800-900 years was pretty bad on him. Watching somebody else walk so closely to God like he once did in the Garden of Eden, go to heaven without dying, and he had to die. Watching his family worship false gods, make false gods. Don't worry, that's just people out there helping us with our parking lot. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. Everybody's, what's going on? It's Shane out there taking care of the parking lot. Look at me. How about we think about stuff before we do something wrong? Before we leave the will of God. Before we make a sinful decision, how about we look at how far down the road that could affect? My grandma and my grandfather moved in off the farm into town. They didn't know the lasting effects. There's one house between my dad's house and my mom's house. They didn't know they were picking a spouse for one of their sons. They didn't know that their daughter would win that young lady to the Lord and who would be my mom. Did you know my grandma and grandpa, my grandma Bush was a Nazarene when she was out on the farm, but when she moved to town, there wasn't a Nazarene church close enough, so she went to the Baptist church. She had no idea how important that was going to be. Huh. I wonder, do we understand the bigness of one right decision? I got an email today from a missionary. I think down in Costa Rica. Is that where they're at? Right now? Got it right this time. A couple that my wife and I won to Christ in South Carolina. They're now missionaries in Costa Rica. Huh. One time, making one contact, staying after one couple, watching them get saved, baptizing them both, and now they're on the mission field. We don't see the bigness of one decision. What if I had not gone soul winning, or my wife had not gone soul winning that day? The bigness of one decision. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. We can't change past decisions. We can't change what was, but we can prevent more bad decisions and start some good decisions.